Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Well, this week we get the honor of hearing from someone that is incredibly special to me. So, High Ridge family, would you stand up to your feet and let's honor my pastor, if you would, Pastor Jeff Klingenberg, as he comes to take the stage this morning. Come on, you can do better than that. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Stretch out your hands towards him if you would. Father, I thank you in advance for the words that you've given to my pastor. I pray that you would bless him as he speaks this morning. In Jesus' name, and all of High Ridge said together, amen. Amen. God bless you, bro. Amen.
Thank you. Y'all may be seated. You doing all right today? Hey, it's a joy to be here. And wow, man, you all just pumped out the worship and God's presence came. I love being with you. Love being in this place. My lovely bride is here. Dawn, would you give a wave and a... She is awesome. She's beautiful. We've been married 36 years. Yes, I know. When you look at her, you're thinking, how in the world? That's not possible. She's not that old. Well, we went to Arkansas when I was 15 and she was 14. And no, that's a lie. That's a lie. I was 16. She was 15. Glad to be here. Love your pastors. Absolutely love doing life with them, ministry with them. What a joy. How proud I am and excited I am about the difference God is making through you, the High Ridge family here in Longview, and taking the whole county. It's going to be awesome. So excited about what's happening. Well, I have a message I want to share with you today, and I want to set it up by telling you something that happened to me recently. I was in the attic. Now, our attic is above the garage. I was in the attic getting some stuff down. Now, how many people believe like I do that Jesus loves a clean attic? Can you give me a wave? He absolutely does. How many of y'all know that a messed up attic means that somebody needs to get saved? Come on. And so I'm in the attic and I'm getting some stuff that's up there. Well, previously, prior to me being up there, two of my sons, not Jeremy, who's here today, he's awesome. There's a halo that just lives above him all the time. He's so awesome. But two of my other sons were previously in the attic getting stuff out, and both of them broke separately two different deck boards. And didn't tell me. And they told each other, but they didn't tell me. Dad, when I was in the attic, I broke one of the deck boards. Or the other one. Dad, when I was in the attic, I broke one of the deck boards. Sorry. No, nothing. Nada. No info. And I'm in the attic, and I'm getting some stuff. And what happens? Y'all are already catching the picture about what happened, right? I've got the stuff that I'm getting out of the attic. I turn and take a step on a board that I think is strong and sturdy and should be able to help me go ahead and make my way to the ladder and get to the attic. No, instead, I start on my way through the deck, through the ceiling of the garage. I start that fall, and in that moment, all kinds of stuff took place. First of all, I had an adrenaline squirt. So do you know that your adrenal gland is really close to your heart, and that's why it happens so fast? So I had a moment right there where I was having an encounter with the devil and with God at the very same time. I was suspended between heaven and earth. I caught myself and was hanging there all the while thinking, who did this to me? And then I looked down and see that one of the deck boards went all the way through and hit Dawn's car and knocked the mirror on the driver's side of the car off. And so then I had another moment of needing to repent for what I was thinking and what I wanted to say. What's the point? I had a moment to become offended, to take up unforgiveness, and to even let bitterness take seed in my heart. And so I want to teach you today on the progress of darkness. Today, you will have an opportunity to deal with offenses if you have them in your life, to deal with unforgiveness if you have it in your life, or to deal with bitterness if it's taken hold in your life. I want to pray for us, and then we're going to dig into the Word. Thank you, Lord God, for your Word. Thank you that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you that your word's been refined seven times. It is perfect. It restores our soul. It gives us true wisdom. Thank you, Lord God, that you speak to us through your word. Now I pray that you would do that in this moment right now. All right, so a progression toward darkness. I know you all don't want to go toward darkness, so I think this is going to help you just in case you've been tempted in any of these three areas. So let's start out with an offense. Okay, so an offense is something that happens to us regardless of how much we love God. Offenses will always come our way. I want to show you this in the scripture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 12, the apostle Paul deals with the whole concept of being offended. And here's what he says in chapter 7, verse 12. So although I wrote to you, it was not for the sake of the offender. Everybody see that word in the Bible right there? Not for the sake of the offender, nor for the sake of the one offended. Now, this is a phenomenal piece of scripture. All scripture, of course, is awesome. But this shows us the one who causes the offense and the one who receives the offense, both in one sentence. Not the offender, nor for the sake of the one offended, but that your earnestness, and then let me summarize the rest of the verse, might be made known in the sight of God. That your earnestness, that your love for God, that your passion for God, that your life moving forward toward God won't be affected, won't be thwarted by an offense. Offenses get in the way of you being able to see God. And God doesn't want there to be anything in the way of you being able to see him. Now let's take a look at another verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32. Give no offense. Somebody say no offense. No offense. Give no offense, either to Jews or to Greeks. This is interesting. Don't offend people who are different than you. He was teaching Gentiles here. Give no offense to Jews or Greeks or to the church of God. So not only don't offend people who are different than you, don't offend people who are like you. And don't take up an offense for people who are like you. Not to Jews or Greeks, nor to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, so that they may be saved. Listen to me. Just because you're offended doesn't mean you're right. Just because you're offended doesn't mean that your truth is truth. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you clear and straight right here, your truth is not truth. God's truth is truth. And the Bible tells us right here that we should not allow an offense to take hold in our lives. But let's be honest, stuff happens. That's the Christian way to say that, by the way. You know what I'm talking about? People drive below the speed limit in the fast lane. That's a sin. That is worthy of being offended about. So stuff happens in life, but just because you're offended doesn't mean you're right. Offenses never bring a spiritual increase. Offenses always cause a detour, always. They always take your sight line for God and dim it, just as this scripture told us. Offenses move you away from God. Offenses find a way to spread to others. Offenses lead toward darkness. Listen, friend, it's hurting people that hurt people. Don't be that person. Don't be that person. Life is too short to live with offenses and to live with stuff building up in your soul that will cause you to hurt someone. Life is too short to live that way. I want to encourage you to give it up. I want to encourage you to give it up. I want to ask you this question. Do you have an offense toward anyone today? Big or small, however you would categorize it. Is there anything funky between you and someone? Off between you and someone? If so, then I just want to encourage you to recognize offenses don't come from the Lord. They come from the enemy. And they come not to help you. They come to hurt you and start you on a progression toward darkness. So we're going to pray in just a moment. And I would be honored to help you. I'm a step ahead of you here. God's already dealt with me on these things, therefore I can teach you these things. I would be honored to pray with you and to help you get all offenses laid down and out of the way. Somebody say, I'm in favor of that. Okay, so let's move on. The progression goes from offenses, and if you don't deal with them, if it's left undone, then what happens is unforgiveness sets in. Unforgiveness is allowed to fester. Jesus deals with this in Matthew chapter 18. He was asked about how often we're supposed to forgive people. So let's pick it up. Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Now you've heard this taught before. Peter thought he was given the best answer that could be given. Seven was the number of completion. Peter thought, I'm asking the question and I'm giving the right answer. God's going to really be pleased with me. Don't tell me you never thought that way before. I'm asking the right question and I'm giving the right answer. So Peter is operating just like we do here. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, everybody knows what it means, but up to 70 times seven. How many of y'all have seen that awesome classic movie in my top 10 of all time, Toy Story? You have to see Toy Story. It's just phenomenal. And there's a character in Toy Story named Buzz Lightyear, and he has a phrase that he says multiple times in that movie. Somebody tell me what it is. Yeah, you've seen it. to infinity and beyond. Now, here's what I want to help you to understand. You giving forgiveness is like Buzz Lightyear saying to infinity and beyond. That's how often you give it. That's how often you give forgiveness to those who have offended you or caused you to have angst in your heart. You just keep on forgiving. Then Jesus goes on to tell a story, tell a parable. And he says, forgiveness operates like this. There was a guy who is indebted millions of dollars to his benefactor. And he went to his benefactor and pleaded with him, please forgive me of my debt. I can't pay. And then the benefactor said to him, you're forgiven. Go in peace. Then the one who had just been forgiven millions of dollars of debt in current currency went to someone who owed him $100 and said, pay up. I'm calling in your debt. The one who owed $100 couldn't pay. And he said, I can't pay, I'm sorry. The one who had been forgiven $1 million took him and threw him into debtor's prison, which is what you could do if someone owed you money. You could throw them into prison where they worked for pennies on the dollar, worked slave labor, hard labor, and then the payment went to forgive the debt, and sometimes it would take years. And he threw him in prison for $100 worth of debt when he had been forgiven millions of dollars. Now, I want you to catch this concept about forgiveness. It's very important. You determine how much dark spirits work in your life and how much they don't. How do I know that? Right here in the Bible. Look what Jesus says. And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers. To the torturers. To those who would beat and punish the ones that were in debtor's prison, working for pennies on the dollar to pay off the one who they owed money to. The torturers. Until he should repay all that was owed him. This was the law. They had the right to do this. And then the benefactor did it to the one who'd been forgiven millions. Why? Because his attitude was so bad. He was holding on to something that he shouldn't have held on to. Just $100. And then here's what the Bible says. My heavenly Father also will do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. In other words, if you choose not to forgive, deep within you, there's a work of darkness that takes place. Deep within your soul, deep within your mind, will, and emotions, there's a work of darkness that takes place that causes you to be tortured by the workers of darkness. And God doesn't want that for you. Somebody say amen. God doesn't want that for you. He doesn't want you to live with unforgiveness in your heart because he loves you so much, he wants to help you and to set you free. At one time, the largest church in the world was a church in South Korea called Full Gospel Church, Yadio Full Gospel Church. And the pastor of that church at that time was Paul Youngie Cho, now known as David Youngie Cho. But Paul Youngie Cho was the pastor of this church. Not only was he a great teacher, not only did he lead the church to have small groups because he believed that pastoral ministry was important for people to walk together, just as Higher Ridge Church Longview does. Small groups are very important. Somebody say that's right. They had that going on. They had prayer. They were strong in prayer, much the same as this congregation is. But the pastor had a gifting, a supernatural gifting, manifestation gifting in two ways. He had the ability to discern spirits, the gift of discerning of spirits, and he had the gift of healings. He was able to pray for people, and at that moment, the Holy Spirit would manifest, and they would be healed. And so the church had millions of people, hundreds of thousands of million people in it. But nevertheless, this famous pastor of this gigantic church liked to stand and pray for people, as your elders and wives do, like to stand and pray for people at the altar. Well, one day he's waiting. A lady comes walking to him. He doesn't know at that moment that she has stage 4 cancer. And she's coming as a last hope and a last resort that Pastor Cho will pray for her and she'll be healed. And supernaturally, she'll be able to continue to live by the grace of God. At the very moment that she comes, he has a discerning of something wrong in her heart. And he just says to her, ma'am, I'd love to pray for you, but I want you to first pray for your husband. She says, never, never will I pray for that man. He said, ma'am, why? Because he has left me for my best friend. I will not pray for either one of them. And then he said, well, then neither will I pray for you because you won't be healed and you'll go out and tell people Youngie Cho does not have the gift of healing. God is not real. She got mad and left. A month later, he's in the very same place. She's coming to be prayed for a month later. And he says to her, ma'am, I would love to pray for you to be healed, but I'd like for you to pray for her husband. She said, yes, I'm willing. And so then she prayed for God to not to convict. She prayed for God to help and to bless her husband and her best friend, who he had left her for. And then he said, now I can pray for you because you're no longer being tortured. And the work of God can come into your life and you can be healed. So he prayed for her. She was supernaturally healed, lived all the way to the end of her life. She was restored back to her husband. Her husband's mistress, her best friend, was restored back to her husband. And God moved. Why? Because somebody chose to forgive the one who had wronged them and receive God's healing in their soul. And God wants to do the same for you and your friends and family today. Can somebody say amen? Are you willing to forgive those who have hurt you? That's what it boils down to. Are you willing to forgive those who have wronged you? And if your answer is yes, then I believe you can stop the progression of darkness. If it's working in your soul today, you can stop it right now and you can move back toward the blessing of God. All right? So usually it starts with an offense. Somebody say offense. And then usually the enemy is able to work to cause that offense to become unforgiveness. Somebody say unforgiveness. Now, what happens if we don't cut it off at that point? Well, then it goes to bitterness. Bitterness will take root. If unforgiveness is allowed to fester, bitterness will take root. So let's take a look at this in the Bible out of Hebrews chapter 12. By the way, the Bible is what real truth, where real truth is revealed. Just to let you know. Everybody's truth today is all a bunch of nonsense. God's word is true. And that's what gives us direction for our life. So let's take a look in Hebrews chapter 12 about the concept of bitterness, because the Bible speaks to it very clearly. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, pursue peace. Somebody say pursue. Pursue. Means to run after like a sprinter is racing for the finish line. That's what we're to do with peace. We're to run after it. Run after peace with all men, not just with your friends, not just with the people who believe like you do politically. Oh, it's awful quiet. Don't just pursue peace with people that you like. Don't just pursue peace with people that you have to. Pursue peace with everyone. This is sanctification, without which no one will see the Lord. In other words, when you choose to pursue peace, it helps you to live a holy life. And then look at this, verse 15, see to it. Now, I want to explain this to you, because that one little phrase there, see to it, in Greek is one word. It's the word episkopos, which we would use the word bishop there. Now, bishop is popular in some sections of Christianity in the world, not that many, but it means to look over for, to watch out for, to give oversight to. In a sense, I'm Pastor Tim's pastor. I'm, in a sense, his bishop. Maybe you ought to start calling me bishop. And so in a sense, I watch out for him. I try to help him if I sense there's anything coming in. He allowed to ask questions to be sure things don't get funky, because pastors are tempted too. And so I like to watch out for my brother, who I love deeply in the depths of my soul. So episkopos, bishop, watch out for, so that no one comes short of the grace of God. Now look at this. What are you watching out for? That no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many then be defiled. So what are you watching out for? You're watching for unforgiveness trying to take root and become bitterness. You're trying to keep your eye out for that. Why are you? Because you're the one responsible for your soul. No one else can be responsible for your soul. You're the ones responsible for your soul. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. The way you think, the way you make decisions, and the way you respond to things in life emotionally. And your soul is in the process of being saved. Your spirit has been saved. Your soul is being saved. And someday soon your body will be saved completely. You'll have a heavenly body. So you are saved, you are being saved, and you will be saved. That's how awesome God is he doesn't leave us alone. He continues to work with us and help us all the time. And you're the one responsible for keeping track of what's going on in your soul. No one else knows what's going on in there, but you do. And God wants to be there in that place to help you so that offenses don't become unforgiveness and so that unforgiveness doesn't take root. You're the one who watches out for that. You're the one who makes the decisions to make sure that those things don't go deeper in your soul. See, bitterness is like drinking poison, expecting it to kill someone else. That's what bitterness is. And your enemy wants to get a bitter root in you. Why? To produce bitter fruit from you. If he can get a bitter root in you, unforgiveness to take root becomes bitterness. If he can get that in you, then what will happen is there will be bitter fruit come off of your life. And as the Bible just said, it will defile people. It will defile other people. You know, I think trees are amazing. I love trees. I absolutely love trees, especially when the leaves are green. When the leaves are brown, I don't like them so much. So let me tell you what I'm talking about. We live on an acre and a half south of Fort Worth, south of Benbrook, we're in Aledo. And where we are, there's lots of trees. We're down in the river bottom. We have lots of trees, which is kind of rare for that part of the world. Now, you all around here, you have blessed horticulture around here. You got trees everywhere that are beautiful and awesome. But we didn't have that many. And so when we moved on this property, we loved the fact that we had a place with lots of trees until all the leaves fall. And then it's a pain. Because you got all these leaves you got to deal with. There's too many even to mulch, because even after you mulch them, it's still that thick on top of the grass. So you got to blow the leaves. You got to get rid of the leaves. I love trees. Let me just say, I love trees, especially in the springtime. Not so much in the fall. I want to ask you a couple questions about trees. You ready? Here's the first one. Why did the tree get stumped? Because he couldn't get to the root of the problem. Oh, man, I hope second service does better than you all are doing. Okay, let me give you another one. What's a tree's favorite drink? Come on, think about it. Root beer. Trees in the Bible. Noah received an olive branch off of a tree when the dove flew back. Abraham had an encounter with God at the oaks of Mamre. Moses had an encounter with God at the burning bush, which was really a burning tree. I think probably a live oak. Zacchaeus climbed a sycamore tree. Absalom's hair got caught in a tree. And he was suspended between heaven and earth, much like I was when I was dangling between the attic and the garage floor. Elijah was under a tree taking comfort, and then a worm ate the tree, and then he hated the tree, and he hated life and wanted to die. The blind man, when he was able to see, saw people, and he thought he saw trees walking around. On the Mount of Olives in Gethsemane, Jesus and the disciples many times were in places where there were lots of trees having encounters with God. By the way, I want to encourage you to go with us. March 2022, go with us to Israel. It'll change your life. You'll never see the Bible ever the same again. It's phenomenal, especially when you're on the Mount of Olives and in the region of Gethsemane, seeing where Jesus was when he prayed. Trees are awesome, but what makes a tree so awesome is the roots. It's the root system. If a tree doesn't have a good root system, it can't be a blessed tree. Just a couple little facts. So the tree with the deepest roots right now is in South Africa, in an area of the wild fig, in the area of the caves, and that tree is a wild fig. The roots are 400 feet deep. That's amazing. The tree with the greatest root system spread, in other words, roots down and up, 1,080 feet in diameter, one tree, and it's the great banyan tree in India. See, trees have roots. People have roots. What are your roots? What are you rooted into? What is it that you're drawing up that's coming off of your life? No matter how long you nurse a grudge, it won't get better. It will only get bigger. You can nurse it as long as you want to. If you water those roots, it's going to produce trouble in your life. God doesn't want it for you. Somebody say amen. God doesn't want it for you. So the progression of darkness, I believe the way the enemy comes to work against our life, he doesn't start out really big making you bitter. No, it's an offense. If he can work in that offense, then he can get you to hold on to unforgiveness. And if he can get you to hold on to unforgiveness, it'll take root, and then you'll live with bitterness, and your life will never be the same. You can see people that have a root of bitterness. It shows up on their face. Their face looks bitter. And I pray that that's not you. So I want to give you some questions to help you figure out where you're at. How can you know if you have bitterness? How can you know? Well, what do your thoughts do when you hear that something good happened to the one who hurt you? If you're able to rejoice even though you don't like them, you got to love them, then perhaps you're free from bitterness. If you can't, if as soon as you hear something good happening to them, it hits you, you've got something you need to deal with. When you hear of good for them, do you get mad or glad? Say, well, they don't deserve me getting glad for them. They're terrible. The lady who was touched and healed by God when the pastor laid hands on her was hung up, not able to pray for God to help her husband. Are you mad or glad? Here's another question. But what if someone has intentionally wronged me? Come on, Pastor Jeff. They did me wrong. What am I supposed to do? They purposefully hurt me. What am I supposed to do? It's pretty easy. You forgive them. Matthew 18. You forgive them. But they don't deserve it. Look at me. Neither did you, but Jesus forgave you anyway. That's because he loves you that much. What do you do if someone is bitter at you? You're the offender. What are you supposed to do? You pursue peace. You keep trying to bring peace. And in your thought life, you stay holy. You choose to be holy. Peace brings sanctification, according to Hebrews 12. And then the last question is this. What are you to do if bitterness tries to return? You say, Pastor Jeff, I had it at one time. I dealt with it. But, you know, every once in a while, it's like there's a piece of fruit that pops off that tree. Those roots come back alive, and a piece of fruit pops off. What do I do at that point? Here's what you do. You pray and ask God to help them, and you pray and ask God to help you. And guess what the most perfect, theologically correct prayer is that you can ever pray? Are you ready? In one word, help. Help. You cannot be more in line with God's will when you pray. Nothing can be more theologically proper and correct than you saying, help. Help me, God. It's coming back. And it didn't do me any good last time. And I don't want it this time. So I just want to encourage some of you to pray help right now. Would you all close your eyes and bow your heads? Which will you choose? Will you choose a progression toward darkness? Or will you choose a progression toward God's light? Which will you choose? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this time that you gave us to be in your house to receive from your word. And now, Lord, we pray that as you spoke to us, you would seal it in our hearts right now. We pray that you would help us. We're your sons and your daughters. We need your help. Lord, help us. I just want to ask you, friend, with no one looking around, all heads bowed, all eyes closed, to have an honest moment with God right now. If you might have an offense, if you might have unforgiveness, if there might be bitterness, would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you and ask God to help you to have it be released from your heart. Just an honest response to the Lord right now. Thank you. Holy Spirit, I want to thank you for being in this room. I want to thank you for blessing these, your people, with lifted hands right now, your sons and daughters. And I want to thank you, Lord, that your nearness is our good. And I want to thank you, Lord, that right now you're bringing clarity, you're bringing relief, you're bringing peace and holiness, and you're removing these works of darkness from the lives of my friends. Thank you for it. In your blessing, and it's in your name that I pray, in Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Let's tell Pastor Jeff thank you for an amazing word this morning. Man, he says your face will always show when you get bitter. I'm just like, how do I make sure that people can't see that? But you know, we all deal with those things, especially in 2020. It is easy to get offended. We live in a world full of offended people, and we see it all the time in the church. We deal with this constantly. It's an appropriate word, especially in these times. But I think it doesn't have to be just a typical response where we say, hey, you know what? That's just the way I am. That's just how it is. That's just what happened. That's how I'm going to deal with it. I deal with it how I deal with it. God is showing us something better today. And I want to make sure that we keep in mind the words of what we just heard. It doesn't have to be that constant progression. We can say at any moment, Lord, okay, help. Help. I need your help. I just felt impressed from the Lord as we were finishing up that message to pray for as not just those of us who have been offended, but those of us that we know that we've been the offender. That we've been the offender. And there are people that you know that you have hurt. And as we finish up today, I want to just take a moment and ask the Lord for help. I want to invite you to ask the Lord for help with the people that you know that you've hurt. You may have had your reasons. They may be valid in your opinion, but you know that you've hurt them. Harsh words, bad situations, bad decisions. You're having to live with the guilt of what you did. I want to just take a moment, if you would. Would you bow your heads as we're finishing up today? Father, not only have we been hurt, but Lord, according to your word, you say that that root of bitterness begins to defile many. Lord, it's easy for us to think that it's always somebody else's fault and blame someone else for the decisions that we've made. But Lord, we don't want to live that way. We want to stay in a place where you can bless us because we're responding to your word with honesty and transparency and wanting to get better. Father, we make the choice today to walk away from bitterness, to walk away from unforgiveness, to walk away from offenses, even those that we've caused. We don't want to be that person. We want to be able to be used by you to do amazing things, to bring healing in such a hurtful time. So Lord, I ask that you would help my friends. You would strengthen them, encourage them, you would bless them, use them for good. In Jesus' name.